Our Bible reading this morning will be from a number of Old Testament passages, beginning in Exodus chapter 23, where we'll be reading from verse 14 to 17. Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 to 17, and thereafter we will be reading from Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 122. Let us listen now to the word of God. Exodus 23 verses 14. 3 times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. As I commanded you, you shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall keep the feast of harvest, of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor. 3 times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. And then reading from Psalms, beginning in Psalm 120, and I'm going to read all the way through to the end of Psalm 122. Psalm 120 verse 1. In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where? From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And then finally, Psalm 122. Psalm 122 is also going to be the focus passage of our sermon this morning. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So far in our reading from God's word, may he add his blessing to it. Well, if you wanted proof that a united humanity living together in peace apart from God is nothing but a utopian dream, then this week has given us plenty of evidence. Throughout the world, in America, in Hong Kong, even here in South Africa, we have come face to face once again with the effects of sin and the curse of Babel. Police brutality, followed by large-scale rioting and destruction. Homes and businesses that have been painstakingly built up over years and years are destroyed in an instant when identity politics comes to fruition. democratic and religious freedoms, the right to self-government that people have enjoyed for a long time, is now being ignored as a stronger, more powerful people simply use force to impose their will upon others. Party politics and racial divisions result in legislation that forces many people into poverty, whilst at the same time enriching a select few. Life after exile, life after Babel, is a fight to survive. With the division of languages and the self-centered desires that reign within the human heart, our world will continue to be fractured and broken. We will always struggle to live and work together with our fellow man. In our marriages, we will fight and hurt one another. In our relationships with our children, there will be misunderstanding and mistakes, sometimes resulting in complete estrangement. In our countries and communities, we will fight against those who look or speak differently to us. We don't want their children in our schools. We don't want them sitting next to us in the classroom. Fractured, broken, and divided society is the default setting of humanity after the fall. We see it in our homes, we see it in our neighborhoods, in our country, in international politics. We live in a world full of lies and disappointments. And it is in this world that we as human beings long for peace and stability. We long for security. We long for leadership that is just and fair. We long for a unity amongst people that will last and is deeper than just surface level. That was also the desire of the psalmist. Psalm 120, he laments the fact that he lives amongst the people of Mesech and Kedar, people who have no interest in worshipping the Lord. He lives in a hostile world that is broken and fractured, surrounded by pagans, among a people who hate peace, who want only war, and whose words are full of deceit. Therefore, he sets out on a journey to the city of Jerusalem. He sets out on a journey to the city of peace, to the city where he hopes to find all the things which he longs for in this broken world, to the city where he hopes to meet with brothers and sisters that have the same longings and desires in their hearts, the city where God is worshipped as King. And so, in Psalm 121, he begins his journey to the city. It's a dangerous journey. Some people might try and stop him. Bandits can attack him from their hiding places in the hills. But he trusts that God will protect him on his way. Encouraged by the words of his fellow travelers, he is reminded that the Lord is watching his coming and his going, both now and forevermore. Then, finally, after a long time of absence, he arrives at his destination. The gates of Jerusalem are in front of him. He's home. He is safe. The city of peace is before his eyes. And then he hears the voice of a fellow believer saying, "Come, brother, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let us go to worship." Last week, we briefly focused on the meaning of Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit has come to unite God's people together in worship. And today, from this psalm, Psalm 122, we're going to see how the Holy Spirit does that uniting in the life of the Christian and God's church. We're going to see how the Holy Spirit is creating new desires in the hearts of Christian believers. We're going to learn about what kind of church the Holy Spirit wants to gather together here on earth. And finally, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us what we should pray and long for whenever we meet together with Christian believers. Firstly then, God, the Holy Spirit, is creating new desires in the hearts of Christian believers. Now, I've already mentioned something of these desires in my references to Psalm 120 and 121. But if we now focus only on Psalm 122, we'll see the new desires that the Spirit is creating in the hearts of Christians mentioned there in verse 1. The Christian desires to worship God. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." The psalmist desires to be in the presence of God. The psalmist desires to be in the city where God dwells. The house of the Lord, which he mentions there, it's a reference to the temple. Temple being the place where believers could bring sacrifices to God and meet with him. At the time when the psalm was written, the temple was the only place on earth where you could go and meet with God. There was no other place that allowed sinful people to come close to a holy God. And that is the reason for his joy. There's a way back into God's presence. There's a place where exiles of Eden can meet with God who made heaven and earth. A place where believers can enjoy real fellowship with him without being scattered and destroyed. A place where something of God's goodness and justice can be experienced. And because the psalmist knows this to be true, he is more than happy to make the long and perilous journey to Jerusalem. Even if he was only to come for those three feasts mentioned in Exodus, it's still worth it. It's worth it because he can meet with God. It's worth it because he can enjoy God's presence. Now, as Christian believers, we can share in that same joy today without having to go to a temple. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be assured of God's favor and goodness because our sin has been dealt with. He was the one sacrifice for sins which all the temple sacrifices pointed forward to. By his blood, he opened the way for us to enjoy lasting fellowship with God. We don't need to fear God's judgment. We can meet with God in the person of Jesus Christ. And now by his Spirit, as we saw last week, God is working in the hearts and minds of Christian believers to unite us together in true faith and worship. He is creating new desires within us, just as he created new desires in the hearts of old covenant believers. He's changing us from a people who hate and fight into a people who love and worship. I hope that your time in lockdown and being absent from public worship has been a frustrating and a challenging time for you. Even though we've been able to have these devotions on Facebook or listen to sermons online, I really hope that you have found them to be somewhat lacking and unsatisfactory. That you've been longing in your heart, if you're a Christian, longing in your heart for the chance to gather again with God's people. And I say that because in God's work of salvation, he wants to gather us together in his church. Now, that is actually what the word church means. It means a gathering or assembly. God doesn't want us to have a relationship with him that is divorced or separate from a relationship with his people. He made us for relationship. He saved us for relationship. And that's why we see there in verses 1 and 2 that the psalmist is not by himself. It's not just him and Jesus worshipping by himself in his home. No, he's part of a crowd, part of a family. I was glad when they said to me, "Our feet have been standing." In light of these verses, I want to encourage you that if you do have the chance of meeting together with God's people over the next few weeks, then please do not let fear or circumstances stop you. By all means, take reasonable health and safety precautions, and I hope that our plans as a church council and the guidelines we've produced at the Reformed Church Shwane will give you a clear indication of what to expect if you were to join us. Be wise, be sensible, but don't make decisions which are driven by fear. Also, don't be content with watching and listening to sermons online. No matter what we might call these online devotions, they are not a public gathering of God's people for worship. We're not seeing each other's faces. We're not hearing each other's voices. Where God wants us to gather together publicly on the Lord's Day to call in His name, we have not been doing so in these past few weeks. God wants to gather us together in His church. That same desire we have to see and meet with our friends and family who we love, that is the desire which God seeks to work in our hearts when it comes to His church. No Christian should be content to watch online sermons and give up on meeting together. Now, along with showing us the new desires that God the Holy Spirit wants to create within our hearts, this psalm also reminds us of what God expects from His church here on earth. If we move our focus to the next three verses of the psalm, verses 3 to 5, you'll see how the psalmist turns his attention to the city itself. He looks up and he sees a city that is secure and solid. Now, that is not simply a reference to the buildings, you know, as if the city is impressive only because of its high population density, but rather he is referring to the nature of the city. Jerusalem is a place where there is peace among men, since this is where the 12 tribes of Israel come to worship. This is where a diverse people come to give thanks to the Lord. This is the city where God's people seek to follow His decrees. Jerusalem is also a city of peace because this is where God's king rules. The thrones of judgment can be found here. The thrones of the house of David are found in this city. So, looking up at the city of Jerusalem, the psalmist enjoys an expectation of a sense of security and safety, because he's come to the city of peace and comfort. That is what Jerusalem was meant to be. In the book of Hebrews, the writer tells us that as Christian believers, when we gather together for worship, we come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, the heavenly Jerusalem is the perfect city under the rule of a perfect king, the kingdom which we are eagerly awaiting to receive from God. That is not where we are today. But something of the reality of that heavenly city must be seen and is seen when we gather together as God's church. Something of that city must be evident in our meetings as Christian people, so that when unbelievers join us, they will cry out, "Surely God is really among you." God's church must be a place of peace and security in the midst of fear and hatred. Meeting together with God's people for worship should be like a breath of fresh air to us, a foretaste of heaven, God's supernatural antidote to life in a broken world. Church is the place where diverse people are meant to be united by their faith in God. As we saw last week, that is what the Holy Spirit is busy doing today. He was doing so in the time of Israel when he gathered the 12 tribes together. He's doing so today when he unites us with people who think, look, and speak differently than we do. And where there are some Christian groups that seek to avoid this diversity, that is not an option for the true church of Jesus Christ. We confessed earlier, Jesus is building one holy Catholic and apostolic church, a church united in a common faith. The Church of Jesus Christ does not have the right to exclude anyone based on culture, age, or background. Even in this time of uncertainty, we cannot, for example, say to children that they must stay at home rather than joining us for worship. We cannot say to the elderly that they are not welcome to meet with us if they wish to do so. Now, it's by no means easy to be part of a church family where there is a lot of diversity. It's difficult. It requires patience and a commitment to working hard at relationships. It's certainly not a natural union. And throughout history, we can point to plenty of examples where God's church has gotten things wrong. That is why God the Holy Spirit needs to create the desire for fellowship in our hearts. Because otherwise, like at Babel, we will scatter and divide. Being united by our faith in God, church should also be the place where we seek to submit to the rule of God's King. The city of Jerusalem was meant to enjoy peace, prosperity and security, because that is where God's King ruled in the Old Testament. And that is the one place where you would expect God's laws to be upheld. In the same way, God's church should be the place where we would expect God's King to be honored and obeyed today. After all, we are known as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, united by one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. He has paid for our sins with his blood. He has lived the perfect life on our behalf. We belong to him, and now we want to honor him. For us, in the next few months, that might mean that we have to make some difficult decisions. God's King wants us to sing his praises and encourage each other with his truth as we do so. Now, our government has said that singing is not allowed. How long should we respect our government and their edicts before doing so would mean disobedience to Jesus' command? Similarly, God's King, Jesus, wants us to administer his sacraments in a pure manner. And that is one of the marks of his true church. It's one of the means by which he keeps us persevering in our faith. So we don't have the option of digital communion, even if there are some groups that seem happy to do so. We don't have the option of baptism by means of water pistol. If we are to administer the sacraments purely, it will mean disobeying our government's instructions. The simple truth of the matter is that God's King rules in his church. He decides what is right and wrong. He decides what justice must look like, and he wants his church to be a place where his justice is exercised. Now, incidentally, that's one of the reasons why we've been so eager as a church council to train our elders and our deacons over the course of this year. We want them to know the task that God has called them to do. We want them to be so familiar with the truths of the gospel that they can guard us against heresy and error. We want to do our best to make sure that God's word rules in God's church. Even as we think about what the church is meant to be, we come to realize that so often that is just not the reality. Where God expects unity, sadly, we are so often divided. Where God expects the King's justice and rule and peace, We think church is a democracy governed by human consensus. And therefore it's no surprise to find that the psalmist finishes his song with a plea for prayer. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, verse 6. Pray for the unity of God's church. Pray for the justice of God's king. Seek the good of the house of the Lord. The history of Israel is a sad testimony to the fact that God's church on earth is but a poor reflection of the heavenly city. The tribes of Israel only came together to worship in Jerusalem for a few generations before there was a division into a northern and a southern kingdom. The Old Testament King David, who reigned in Jerusalem, he was also happy to forsake the justice of God when it did not accord with his own desires. When Jesus later walked on earth, he wept when he saw Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing, he said. The city where God's temple was found, the city where God's tribes were meant to be united in worship, the city where God's king was meant to rule with justice, so often it was instead a city of blood, bribes, and adultery. A city which refused to listen to the prophets of God. A city which refused the justice of God's king. When we look at God's church today, we see the same challenges. Where the church is meant to be a place of peace and security, a foretaste of heaven, so often it is not. And many of you watching today's video will have first-hand experience of injustice and disunity. Perhaps you've even been part of the problem, as I'm sure we all have in some sense. We need God's help if we are going to be the church that He wants us to be. We need God the Holy Spirit to create the right desires in our hearts. We need God to help us love our brothers and sisters who are different from us. We need God to help us submit to Christ as King, to unite us in His truth, and to keep us from being led astray by wolves. That is why we must pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the peace and unity of God's church. And as we do so, as we pray for peace, let us always be reminded that the perfect church is not found on earth. Whilst we wait for the coming of Jesus Christ, we still live in a sinful world where each one of us have sinful desires. We will continue to sin. We will make mistakes as individuals. We will hurt one another just as much as we are hurt by others. Now that's not an excuse for us to sin, but it is to say that we should expect sin to happen. Sanctification is a lifelong process by which the Holy Spirit conforms us into the image of Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. So let's be patient with one another as we gather together, quick to forgive when we've been hurt, eager to help and support. And also, on this topic, I just want to say that our church council will sometimes make poor decisions. Despite our best efforts, we are all susceptible to fear, to the fears and the philosophies of our day and age. So there may well come a time where we make a decision that is contrary to God's word. And if you believe that to be the case, then please, you must challenge that decision. God's word must rule in His church. The perfect church is not found on earth, but one day, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we will be part of a perfect gathering in the New Jerusalem. In Isaiah chapter 2, we read these wonderful words of promise, looking forward to that day. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are looking forward to life in a city where King Jesus rules. A city that will be perfectly safe and secure. A city with many homes, with a people bound firmly together. A city where not only the 12 tribes of Israel, but all the people whom God has chosen from every language and nation are united in worship. That is the city which we are looking forward to as we sing this psalm. That is also the city which we are hoping to reflect in our church community as we pray and strive for peace and justice. Now may God the Holy Spirit draw the truths of the psalm into our hearts and minds, that we might also joyfully testify, I was glad when they said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, we want to thank you and rejoice that you have made us part of your church. Thank you for gathering us into your family, into a family of brothers and sisters. Thank you for gathering us into your family where we deserve nothing but your wrath and condemnation because of our sin. Thank you, Lord, for the certainty which we can have now that because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for our sins, our future in your church is secure. We're not going to be kicked out. You're going to gather us into heaven, into the new Jerusalem. By your Spirit, Lord, will you please be at work within us today? Will you create in us this desire to meet together with your church, even in the times when we don't feel like gathering, when we're tired or sad, lonely or frustrated? Create new desires in our hearts. Will you also lead us into your truth, Lord, so that we will be a church united in worship, united around a common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and a willing submission to your word. And please would you also help us to love your word to such an extent that we are gladly ruled and governed thereby, that we're not like the ox or the mule that needs to be led from the mouth, but that with joy we will submit and listen to your instruction. I also want to pray for your church throughout the world, not only in our gathering in Tshwane, but all the true churches meeting together. May there be peace and justice. May your church be what you have made it to be. As individuals, will it help us to love and care for the new family that you've made us a part of? May we seek the good of your church. May we use our gifts willingly and cheerfully to help one another, especially in this time of uncertainty and fear. Please, Lord, will you also care and provide for us with jobs and with opportunities to do good and to work. We also want to thank you, Father, that we can look forward to meeting together again next week can look forward to shaking, to seeing faces, to speaking with one another, to listening to your word together. And will you please help us to honor you when we come to do so. As we pray for justice and peace in your church, Lord, we also lament the effects of sin in our world. And we ask that you would please intervene to limit the evil that is currently being done by human beings. We know, Lord, that you divided our languages in the past in order to limit our potential for evil. And we ask that you would intervene once more today. We pray for a peaceful solution to be found for the situation currently raging in America. We pray that your church in Hong Kong might continue to enjoy religious freedom, and that you might work miraculously in that country and that situation to protect their religious freedoms. We pray, Lord, that you would guard your church in Nigeria and other parts of the world where Christians are being killed by Islamic extremists. There are so many problems in our world, Lord, problems that make us long for the coming of your kingdom and the new city that you have prepared for us. And so we conclude our prayer by asking that your kingdom would come quickly, Lord Jesus. Rule us by your word and spirit, that we would more and more submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the works of the devil and every power that raises itself against you and your word. Do this, Lord, until the fullness of your kingdom comes in glory. Amen.